Welcome back. Today we are here with?
We are here with Rachel and Nikki, who have started Edmonds Live Music website. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks. So why don't we start off by you explaining a little bit how this all came about?
Yeah. So Nikki and I are both musicians and have been playing in the community for a couple of years and found each other through, I write a monthly article about the music scene. Mm-hmm. And I got to interview Nikki because I had seen her band and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to meet you. So that's how we met, is I got to interview her band. And one of the things that came up in all of these interviews that I had done over the years as I meet other musicians in the community is just how these amazing stories of musicians and how many really talented people we have in our community. And what I've found is a lot of them don't necessarily promote themselves, or, you know, I'll meet people that are like, oh, I wish, you know, you go to all these live shows. Like, I wish I knew when they were and who the musician was. So I have been trying to do that through journalism. And then Nikki and I, through the years that we've become friends, have talked to many musicians about, like, how do you get the word out? And not just for the musicians, but for the community.
Right.
Because people want to go see music. And then also for the venues. So we have some really amazing venues in town. And it all comes together, supports each other. So we thought the easiest first step is to make a digital presence where you can go and see what's happening every night in town. So it is very local to Edmonds.
Awesome. And so give us a little backstory. So you said you were in music for most of your life, or what's kind of your background?
Yeah. Yeah. So my parents are musicians, professional musicians, grandparents on both sides, aunts and uncles.
Wow.
Everyone in the family. Wow. I was born in Port Townsend, in the back room of a music store.
So my parents
owned a music store. So it really was, yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of choice there. I rebelled quite a bit in my late teens and early 20s and went into corporate America, which was like the worst thing you could do in my family.
Yeah, that's a horrible thing to come from.
I was the black sheep. And what I had seen all those years growing up, had amazing experiences, was, you know, in this world of music everywhere around me, and I loved it. I've played instruments all my life. But I saw people struggle, right? As a kid, there are a lot of times where I'm like, well, it'd be nice if we could just, you know, stay in one place. Or I, you know, didn't have to go have dinner at the jazz club at midnight. It sounds exciting, but as a kid, you're like, no, I just want to be home with my friends,
right?
And do the quote unquote normal stuff. So seeing the time and effort that was put into their careers and that they continue to put into their careers and everyone around us, I felt a lot of compassion for musicians that are trying to make a go of it, especially as their full-time work. So after many years in corporate retail, I took that and was like, well, how do I take this and give it back to a community that is near and dear to my heart? So started doing things where I volunteer with booking for festivals.
Oh, wow.
And a book for a lot of local activities that happen here, and then just offering musicians help with, you know, digital presence. A lot of that's what I do in my day job, so retail and digital marketing. And as that grew, I dipped my toes back into music. I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this. I started playing with some friends, and we made a little ukulele band, which was also a very rebellious thing to do in the musical world because no one takes you seriously. It's a great way to be like, yeah, I'm not actually doing this, to at least my family. They have all been amazingly supportive. And then have transitioned to mostly just playing bass guitar in several bands, which has been the last 5 years for me.
Several bands.
Yeah. The nice thing about playing bass is, you know, you can play with lots of different people, lots of different genres. And growing up with so many different genres of music, it's fun, right? Like, played with a blues band this summer, and I do backup vocals for Nikki, which is a blast, and playing with a alt grunge Americana band right now.
Wow.
A bunch of guys are way younger than me. It's real, real entertaining.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Really good. They're called Dancer.
Yeah. Dancer.
It's DNCR.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
They've been playing around town. They're excellent. I'm like, they're super fan.
I didn't expect that this era and decade of my life to be playing like the Funhouse in Seattle. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going backwards a bit, but yeah. So music is just something I'm passionate about, and wanting to help musicians to find a way to get their stories out there and their business out there.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I'm really passionate about opening a record store was to have a place for our musicians in town. And, you know, I say in town very loosely, you know, within whatever radius people feel comfortable saying that they're local. But make sure we carry local musicians' music, so CDs, vinyl. A lot of musicians, that's how they make money.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at gigs, after you get the cost to get there, you know, a lot of times you're investing a lot of money to get to the gig or to play the gig, and by the time you get out of there, you really haven't made anything.
Divided by how many people are in the band.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see people out there hustling and gigging. And my dad's 82. He still plays multiple times a week. And he's shared with me that he still makes the same he did as when he first started out in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Wow. 60 years ago. So there hasn't been a lot of movement financially. So supporting artists by buying their merch, their CDs, their vinyl, that's really where they can start making money. So in the record shop, we don't take anything from local artists. So they just get 100% of their sales, because it's like, well, like, this is how you want to feed a musician, like, buy their stuff.
Absolutely.
So the record shop, calls it the record shop.
Yeah.
Musicology Co.
Yes.
Amazing. If you haven't been there yet,
yeah,
you have to go check it out. It's become really this new music hub in Edmonds.
And it's right on 5th.
Mm-hmm. 420 Fifth Avenue.
420.
Yeah. 425th.
Seems
easy to remember
for music. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. She's got live music many nights a week too.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think part of that also is part of why we were inspired to start the website too. Between the things going on there, you've got venues like Vinbarrow.
Yeah.
Who's having live music many nights a week too?
The Boathouse.
Boathouse always, yeah. Yeah. A mainstay of live music. There's something
Angles.
Almost. Yeah, Angles, of course, been around.
Dusted Valley.
Yeah.
Student music.
A lot of our small businesses are having live music. There's something almost every night now.
Yeah. It's been seeming like it's picked up so much too. I think coming out of the pandemic, like, people are just craving that social interaction so much that, you know, we all had to walk 6 feet apart for years and not see anyone, and definitely weren't going to concerts. And yeah. And I think too, it's so interesting with the music shop, just because I feel like so much with the streaming platforms that people aren't buying that kind of stuff as much anymore. They're just using like Spotify or Apple. And, but it feels like, especially vinyl has had such a resurgence the last couple, maybe decade. But I think it's nice to have kind of that, nostalgia back and something locally. And it's funny how Edmonds finds these little niches of things that, like, you don't even think, you know, say 5 years ago, oh, we need a music shop. And then it's like, we did need a music shop, you know? And then Nikki, I mean, most people probably know you from your band, but why don't you tell us how you got into music?
Oh, gosh. I have been singing since I could talk, I think. Always have just been that kid that would always want to, you know, perform for the family singing.
Yeah.
Just, I remember records are my early music memory, just playing whatever records my parents had. I did, like, choirs and in children's theater growing up, and then high school, all that. And then didn't do it for a long, long time. Had my kids, just didn't sing.
Just lullabies.
Years and years. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Then joined a local choir here. Snow King Community Chorale was in that for several years. And then just sort of fell into the band thing with Nikki and the Fast Times. Yeah. The way that happened was a post on the My Edmonds Neighbors group that I saw. Mm-hmm. Scott Ely, who's the drummer of the band, I knew his wife just through mutual friends. And he posted, hey, we're looking for a singer. And that's something I've always wanted to do, sing in a band. So I texted his wife, Christy, and I was like, hey, should I be in this band? What do you think? What are these guys like? And she was like, yeah, they're great. You should go try it. And that's
so fun.
That's been really fun. Rachel neglected to mention that the ukulele band she talked about was an Edmonds Moms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I remember seeing that post.
Yeah, yeah, when I moved to Edmonds, I was like, okay, yeah. I'm gonna start a band. And every time I'm like, who wants to make a mom band, right? Like, we should just make that a thing.
Yeah.
Because then you're in a band with people who have similar schedules, and we'd let the kids just run around when we practiced. And, you know, it was like, how do you keep these things going?
I remember seeing that post and being like, oh, I can't do that. I don't play any instruments.
Yeah. A voice is an instrument.
Yeah, exactly. It's so fun that so many years later, I know Rachel. She's a great friend, and we're doing projects together.
That's awesome. So now that we have this website, and I'm assuming it's all going to be linked to social media, but how, since maybe some people don't know how to get out, or like you were saying, promote their events coming up, how would somebody do that?
So there's a submission form at the, if you scroll to the bottom of the monthly calendar, on the website, so people can submit to us. It's also, you know, you can reach out directly to Nikki or myself. A lot of individuals reach out to Musicology, the record store, directly. So I have been getting more and more emails coming through there. And really, we both feel very passionate that music is something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And often, as you get into the music industry, there can be situations where it feels a little more exclusive. And that's something that we want to break down. So especially for our community, it's like, at the record store, when I book live music, I tell people, like, it's a great place for your first gig, right? Yeah. Like, everyone can do this. You come up here, you perform a couple songs. Like, we want this to be an environment where people can try stuff. And it's all genres, it's all abilities. Let's make this happen. So for what we're trying to create is, like, it is it for everybody. It's not, we're not filtering. Like, you know, if you have a gig, tell us and we want to put it on this platform.
And it's, like, there's no, like, qualifications.
Yeah, no.
We're trying to stick to Edmonds.
Yeah, Edmonds
area. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Just don't be like war, you know, like.
Yeah, maybe not offensive. Like, yeah.
I mean, you could do that, but do it in a venue where it's easy to clean up.
Yeah.
Not on our rug at the store.
I mean, that's the thing about music, though, right? Like, you get your opportunity to tell your story, and everybody has different stories. So we just want to be able to connect those storytellers with people who want to hear them and with the venues who can support them.
Yeah.
And just build that community.
Well, it seems like the venues, like, having live music is becoming such a, like, common thing, especially, I didn't know until a couple years ago that, like, at a restaurant or a bar, that you can't just play the radio or Spotify
because
of licensing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, really? You can't just put on Spotify and have, you know, music playing? Like, no, we've got fined once already, you know?
Yeah. Who was that?
It was Chris.
Oh, that's right.
And so it's kind of crazy, you know, so it makes sense to have, like, people come in and do their own stuff.
And that's why you'll see some venues where all the artists play just originals. Mm-hmm. And that would be something that they'll tell you as you're booking a gig, like, originals only.
Yeah.
And then some venues that have licenses, you can play covers and, yeah.
So interesting. So I'm assuming things like the Taste must get their own licenses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Most major festivals will have their licenses all set with that. And there's a lot of ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if any listeners out there want to talk about all the, you know, BMI, ASCAP, all of that kind of stuff, feel free to reach out directly. It can get super boring. But ways to do it. And then for the venues, they're like, hey, I've always wanted to have music, but I didn't want to deal with that part. You can book musicians that will just do originals, and that's really common.
Yeah.
So a lot of the musicians in the area, you know, have this really great collection of music that they have written. and you know, it's great to get them out there into those spots.
I just lost my train of
thought. Okay, so we're, you know, we're ready to launch this. It's out there in the world.
Yeah, when is it? So when
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, so Friday.
It's live. It's a little bare bones right now.
Yeah,
we need to jazz it up a little visually. But the information is all there. And then, yeah, tomorrow, Friday.
Tomorrow. We are
having a little just like drop by and celebrate this launch at Musicology.
Yep.
420 Main. Yeah. From 5 to 7?
5 to 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some snacks. Just come by and check out the shop if you haven't checked out the shop because it's really cool.
Yeah, and talk gigs. It's great to be able to network. We also do a songwriter night at the shop, which brings a lot of musicians together, which is another place where this has come up many times of like, how do we get the word out? We have big plans too. You know, there's a lot. We're starting very bare bones, mostly so that we can get the information out to people.
Right.
Right now, it's truly just Nikki and I looking up every venue and every artist in Edmonds and piecing it together for each month. So we look forward to a day when this becomes a little more,
streamlined.
Yeah. Maybe artists are submitting their own stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a labor of love. Like, we're happy to do it because we feel passionate about it.
Well, it's important too, because I mean, it's so hard to find venues to play and. Especially if you've never done any of it, you know, to get into it. I mean, you need that launching point at some point, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that was my question. So normally if somebody like say is gonna play at Vinbarrow, is it usually the band or singer reaching out to them and then they would reach out to you or?
Well, we don't book Vinbarrow. But for like
just in general, like how do?
Yeah, it's very different for every venue, which makes it not easy for artists, right? Like, how do I get out there? So a lot of what I tell artists when they're trying to get booked is go to the place. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to play at Vinbarrow or Engels, go there and talk to the people that are there, because when you have that face-to-face interaction, it's a lot easier to get into that conversation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, you can reach out by email and just ask who does your booking. Usually they're going to look for some video of you performing. It's really good to have video of you performing live because a lot of people are like, here's my link to, you know, Spotify. And you have no idea like how much mastering went into that, you know.
Or maybe even like their setup and if it would work in the space.
Exactly. How much auto-tune was used.
Exactly,
Hey, no judgments.
Yeah, oh no, not at all. I mean, we all want our best product out there. But it's really great to have, you know, even a basic YouTube video of what you do live. And then if, you know, finding out who they book normally and does that match what you're offering. So, you know, Barrow is a fantastic place for solos and duos. You're not going to fit a whole band in there.
Right.
You know, it's a small, intimate place. Engels opposite, right? Like you need that energy, you need that that vibe to fit there. And so just understanding like what works in the venues and then talk to them and negotiate, right? Like a big passion I have is artists should be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the record store, we have a small budget, but we have a budget. Like, I won't ask people to play for free because I think that just doesn't send the right message. And it's a hard thing, I think, for a lot of artists, especially when you're starting out and if it's not your full-time profession, to ask for money, right? Like,
absolutely.
I posted my first thread. I was really proud of myself this week. And my first thread was about, like, at what point do you feel comfortable calling yourself a musician? Because, you know... You listen to my background, it's like, oh, you're a musician. And I still struggle saying, like, I'm a musician. I'm like, oh, no, I just
dabble.
Do it.
Hobby.
And I dabble, right?
I had somebody say to me, oh, you're a professional. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you get paid to do it? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Yes.
Okay. Maybe more than just the tip jar.
Yeah. So it can be hard. And I've found with a lot of artists I've interviewed that that's a really common thread, right? So encouraging people, like, it's okay to ask for these things. You are providing a service. It's
probably hence why so many bands have managers.
Probably.
We don't want to ask ourselves. Or you need that person in your band to be that person that will ask.
Yeah.
It's an important role.
That can be hard to find, too, to find that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's not an easy role to fulfill, right. Asking for money.
Right. No, that is an important point. The thing that I really love about what's going on in the music scene in Edmonds is this cooperation between the artists and then our small businesses, who I am very passionate about,
yes.
helping and promoting. I just love that all these small business venues that are just like, hey, let's have music.
Yeah.
Let's have this live music.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I feel like we're very fortunate to have like the business owners that we have in our town that are very open to like so much stuff, you know, and some different ideas and concepts and how to do things and not just keep doing things the same old way, which is really nice.
I like to think that Porch Fest helped a little bit with that matchmaking too. Yeah. I think that's been a really cool way for artists and businesses to meet too.
And especially maybe people that don't play as frequently, like having an opportunity to try it out again, or maybe take New Year's off like both of you did, and just like, okay, I'm going to dip my toe back in, but it's not so much pressure because, you know, people can just keep walking if they want, or they can stay for a while. And
Porch Fest is, I think, such a gem to have.
I feel like that event really helped ramp up the local music scene here. It gave a lot of people, like, I know that there are quite a few artists who signed up to play that really hadn't played yet or in years, and that was sort of dipping their toe back in the water of live performing. And now they kind of are like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah.
Let's do some more things. Because we tend to, I mean, you see them all. I will run into them at stuff, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I played at Porch Fest too.
And as you see the turnout that Porch Fest had, which was amazing, and that feeds those musicians, you know, not just truly feed them, but it really brings it back in and people want to come back and play again. Because they're like, oh, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. There's so many people to share my music with. And I think it really establishes Edmonds as a music destination, which is, you know, when Nikki and I have our talks of like big dreams, it's like Edmonds should be a music destination, right?
Yeah.
For Washington. We talk about being a creative district.
Yeah,
music is part of
that.
We have
great restaurants. Yeah. We could use some more venues. We're always trying to think of like what space could we use?
Yeah.
What, you know, we could use some more venues. I think we are missing
a
mid-size. I mean, ECA obviously is amazing and awesome, and the artists they bring in are incredible and they do great work, but we need a medium somewhere between the bars and ECA.
Yeah.
Is the Opera House kind of considered a little bit? Or?
Yeah, we talk about it. And there have been, you know, there have been shows put on there for sure. And Ryan Crowther from the Edmonds Chamber of Commerce, I don't know if you know his other thing that he does that's so amazing. That also is an inspiration for us. The Everett Music Initiative for, I think, a dozen years has been promoting music in Everett.
Mm-hmm.
So he has that background, and I know he's booked some events there. So that is probably the best option right now for that kind of mid-range venue, but
it'd
be nice to have something that has like
a stage.
Stage and seats, and you know.
I would love to do more all ages show. That's something that I'm really passionate about. Is, you know, you look at we have these venues. Yeah, ECA, amazing draw for our community. And then you have a lot of bar venues, and
you're pretty
it's hard. Yeah, like where do you bring your teenagers to shows? And we have a great community to offer that. So if you look at, you know, when we were teenagers, the types of places we were trying to go and wanted to go, you know, I don't love the idea of
there were all ages clubs back there.
If I can keep them close where they're not having to drive to the city, you know, to go see a cool show. And we recently had a teen band play at Musicology, and that was probably the most people that have been in that shop. So it was, we had a lot of people out in the street, like trying to listen in, and it was such a cool experience, you know, as a parent of teenagers. I was standing outside looking, and a few other parents walked by, and they're like, we're so happy, right, that our teenagers are here.
Yeah.
Because they could be a lot of other places.
Well, both of us went to a lot of concerts in high school, and my sister and I always would say, I can't believe our father would let us go to Graceland when it was Graceland, or Showbox when we were like 16 and she was 14. But we had a band in our high school that got pretty big and played like Warped Tour. But when they were starting in high school, we would always go see them at Rock and Gem Club or Boys and Girls Club. So that could also be
Rock and Gem Club.
Oh, I've never been in there. Okay.
I mean, there's no stage. So we all, they just like sat on one and we would like all of us high schoolers.
It was your typical, you know, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Pop punk.
Right.
You know. I love that. But I think but that, how about that, like our next generation of teenagers?
And a lot of them are playing musicians. Music.
Yeah.
I mean, we have these amazing music programs in the Edmond schools that are really incubating a lot of musicians. Hopefully that can continue and they can get funding and continue that education. But there are a lot of kids playing music and they can't go play in the bars.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, their options were very limited. I'm trying to think where else.
It'd be great to have that.
But yeah, they would do the teen night because, you know, everything back in the early 2000s closed at like 7 in Edmonds besides Rory's and Ingalls.
Now it's 8.
So, yeah. But the Boys and Girls Club, they probably still do it, but they would have teen night on like Friday or Saturdays.
Oh, yeah. They would do it at the Boys and Girls Club and the gym part. Yeah. They would have concerts too.
That would be cool to bring that back.
But we all went there because there was nowhere else to go besides the gas station where Windermere is now.
And that's not even there anymore.
No.
So now where do they go? But that's another really cool thing about musicology is seeing there's 15-year-olds hanging out in there and there's 82-year-olds hanging out in there. And where else in our community do you get that? It's really neat. Yeah, the resurgence of vinyl has been really interesting to watch.
It's so crazy.
It captures all these age groups.
Yeah.
I remember like, I don't know, like 8 or 9 years ago, one of our friends was like, he got a record player. And we're like, what do you got a record player? Like, why do you have a record player right now? He's like super into it. And now I'm like, wow, he was way ahead of his time, which is kind of crazy.
My personal philosophy with live music and with vinyl and a lot of the interest, and I could be totally off, but as AI takes over more creative endeavors, and everything becomes very like quote unquote perfect. Mm-hmm. There's something about having imperfections, right? So vinyl, you have imperfections because you have the crackles and the pops and however it was pressed and recorded. And with live music, right? Like live music is never perfect. That's one of the joys of it. And you get to like see the musicians in their element and it changes every time, you know, slightly. If you're a musician, you can tell that it changes every time. Mm-hmm. The audience might not always. But I think that it's that like authenticity that people want, because there's some of that stuff that I do listen to and stream or on the radio and I'm like,
It's just not as compelling.
No, it's true.
I think too, like the storytelling at live shows, like, you know, the artist will, you know, share something that happened that week or, you know, and you just don't get that. So,
or you go to a Goldfinger concert and they just have like the video playing in the back. Of like animals, you know, because they were really into PETA. Like I was like 15, you know, or 16 at one of their concerts, and I was like, "What's going on here?" You know,
it's another kind of experience.
And then they're throwing cakes at people. You know, it's fun.
That back.
I still can't believe that my parents let me go. I remember once my mom called me. We were at down in downtown Seattle, me and a friend, and she called my friend because I didn't have a cell phone yet, and. She was like, where are you guys? And that was in the day when, like, 15 minutes, we were back into Edmonds from Seattle, like, getting home as fast as we could because we were late. And those are, you know, big memories that everyone wants to make.
Right.
So I think,
I think for a lot of people, their first, like, freedom, independence is being dropped off at a concert.
Or sneaking out.
Or going,
I mean, we'd go and get the new Stranger every week and go through the shows and see, like, okay, who are we going to go see for the weekend? And, like, circle and, like, talk to our friends. And so this is, like, the updated version.
Go down to the barbershop to buy your tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Ticketmaster.
Was it a barbershop?
Yeah, there was a barbershop down in U District. Like, we would always go buy tickets there for some reason. I don't know why. Because we got to go down to university, you know.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's what we're trying to create, right? Like, maybe not the level of the Stranger, but being able to have a place where people can go either, you know, a week and plan ahead of time, or if it's just, hey, I really need to get out and want to listen to some music tonight. So you can go to the website and see, like, I actually had a friend text me last night of somewhere where she was going. I was like, oh, where are you playing? And she's like, look at your website. And I was like, oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Like, it's so handy. I can just go look it up and see and what time. And eventually, we want to make it more interactive where you can, like, filter by venue or yeah, right, you can filter by genre. Although genres are always tricky. You ask an artist what genre they are. Yeah, and they list like five, 10 things.
Because
they're like, well, it's like this and this yeah, and this. But maybe having links to some of their music so people can tell ahead of time, you know, hey, is this something I want to check out? Although I would encourage people just go check out all live music, right? Like, there's so many genres. And I'm like, oh, that's not really my thing. And then I'll go listen to a live show. I'm like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you never know.
And do you ever plan to expand it outside of like the Edmonds area to like Linwood or Muckleton, like to like closer, just keep it in the Edmonds?
I don't know.
If artists have shows that they want us to showcase, like, and I think we're pretty open.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great tools out there.
Yeah.
So Everett Rocks has a website that that has a pretty big reach. So, you know, we have no intention of like competing or anything like that. We're trying to address really what's in our community and what we see as an opportunity to connect people. I think expansion wise would be more about like just getting more in depth, but really keeping it as local as possible.
And maybe helping incubate more venues and more, just more things happening here. Because I think that there's a lot of potential and a lot of need.
Yeah.
And as our community grows and we have more people and, you know, our demographics change, I think that there's a lot more interest in entertainment here.
A Big Red Barn would be a good one too.
Oh gosh,
yeah. I feel like that comes up in every conversation. Everybody, talks about music in town, and we all kind of look at it and drool, and we're like, "Yep, yeah, see, I can put a big show on there."
Have a good time in there,
right?
Minus the dying seagull call on top of it.
Yeah,
we did use that for the first Porch Fest. That one that happened really quickly, and it was in November. And then there was that huge storm
that's
the morning, and the power was out to like half of Edmonds. I did not realize until about, I don't know, halfway through our set when they were like, hold on, we have to like, we're going to run out of power because the Windermere next door was letting us run.
Okay.
I think that's who it was letting us run an extension cord. I didn't know. This is like the privilege of just going on the stage and just doing that and not worried about any of that. They're like, yeah, so somebody had to close, and so they had to find somebody else to plug into. I didn't even realize there wasn't power. Yeah.
It is a barn.
Yeah. It is. Well, it has power. It's just they had lost power.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. The storm. Yeah. I think that was the cutoff right there. And then the other side of downtown still had power.
So turn into an acoustic show.
Not for our band.
Yeah, covers don't really go acoustic so much.
But it was really fun. I mean, that stage is cool.
Yeah.
I think there was a little bit of daylight coming through the roof.
it is
a cool venue.
As we keep putting this out there and show businesses what this can do to bring in more customers, right? Because this is truly about not just our community, but like our businesses. And can we build a bigger draw for people to come into Edmonds, right? So is this also a tourism opportunity?
Right.
And I think the more that we can showcase that and, you know, use this as a tool for data as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like how many people come to this website? How many people are going to shows? Can we then turn that into a way to encourage more venues and really show that there is a return on something like this?
Right.
And we definitely have, like, the space for, like, you know, summer concerts, like the Francis Anderson Field or, you know.
Summer is there's plenty of venues in the summer, but I think the challenge is right now.
So Francis Anderson, you've got the clamshell, you know, the little amphitheater there.
Yeah, and the park, the new stuff at Civic, too.
Yeah, Civic.
Yeah.
The city puts on, you know, the plaza shows
and the new little at Main Street Commons.
Yeah, Main Street Commons has a lot of live music at their stages. Port of Edmonds has live music. Right. I mean, the summer is because I've been doing this through article format before, researching what's happening. And summer months would take me so many hours to write out like everything. I mean, because there is like six to 10 shows a night, right? Right. Like, where can you see music?
Right. And the Boathouse has their outdoor.
Yeah, Boathouse. Yeah. So it's, we're lucky to really have that thriving. But then how do you, in some ways, I feel like it's even more important in the winter months, right?
Absolutely.
Because people are like, it's dark and you sometimes can find yourself isolating. Like, how do you get out there?
Yeah.
And that's where being creative and how we get live music happening and partnering with all of the organizations and businesses. And that's something I think has been amazing that we're really lucky in our community is, you know, we talk to the ECA, we talk to Boathouse, we talk to Bimbaro, we're in all these venues and everybody is really excited to collaborate, which I also love, right? Like it's not a competition of who has music that night. It's like, let's showcase everyone and there's something for everybody. And the more we do that, the more we can bring attention to it, right? Like, you look at Nashville and you're not like, oh, well, only one place should have music that night, right? Like,
yeah,
every place has it, and that's what the draw is. So how do we provide that?
Right. And this time of year, too, it's can be slower for our small businesses. And so figuring out ways to draw people to come down and still spend money and have fun, I think, becomes even more important.
Absolutely.
This time of year.
Well, yeah. The weather doesn't help. It's dark at 4:30.
Yeah, as my daughter, she was like, she goes, it's just so dark when I was driving home, her home from dance practice at like, 5:30. She's like, it's so dark out here.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, it's winter. We're in the winter darkness.
Yeah. Well, where the website is, Musicology.
Well, it's this specific one is edmundslivemusic.com.
edmundslivemusic.com.
But it's connected to the Musicology.
Yeah,
you can get there from the Musicology website also.
And yeah, it shows what's happening each night. Showcases local artists. You know, that's the thing, is support artists. The things that people can do that cost nothing to support local artists is follow their socials.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know a lot of people hear that and they're like, okay, I don't want to clutter my feed or don't want to do that. But it's not just about getting that feed. Those likes and those followers actually help artists get gigs because then when they go to submit to a venue, they're like, this person has a lot of authentic followers. Awesome. But that's a free thing you can do to support music and businesses, right? Like small businesses, all that stuff really helps. And encourage your friends to go to shows. All of that, it comes together and it really does build something.
Of course.
And we're on social media too.
Mm-hmm.
Edmunds Live Music. We're on Instagram and is there Facebook yet?
Yeah.
Okay, we're on Facebook.
Yeah, you
and we'll start posting. Yeah.
Facebook.
I knew that.
Yeah,
and we'll repost people's events and stuff too. So that's another way you can kind of, because I know sometimes like especially with Facebook and like the events, like. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
So the more places you can get those things posted, I think, then you get more eyes on them.
Yeah. Also, if people share the events also, because I see that so often. I'm like, oh, I would have totally missed this event, but somebody else.
Even just marking like interested on those Facebook events, then that becomes a post that shows up in your friends' feeds and then they see it.
Yeah.
So that's another good way.
And I think people think I go to a lot more shows than I do because I click interest in all music stuff, supporting musicians. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'm interested in your show. And people are like, how are you going to 5 shows that night? I'm like, well, I'm probably not, but.
Also, just because then Facebook reminds you too, cause it pops back up. So I use that too, just as to remind myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing. And so everyone can go tomorrow to Musicology on 4205th and check out
4/25th. And be sure to stop in and buy some records.
Or stop by, anytime that they're open too. It's just it's got a great vibe in there. Rachel really has done an amazing job making it a welcoming, warm place. The employees are really nice, super knowledgeable. They've got a little like listening couch where you can just sit and chill and listen to music and
check out the leopard print couch that came from a music studio of a local band.
Oh really?
Yeah. I was in their studio and I saw that couch. This was several years ago. I was like, if you ever get rid of this couch. And then like a year later, I get this random phone call that's like, are you home? Because I'm bringing you a couch. And I was like, oh, okay. So yes, we have a comfortable space and just hopefully welcoming to all, open every day.
And in there, do you sell just record? What, I mean,
no, we sell CDs, okay. And cassettes. So fascinating, because I'm sure we went through this with our parents, right? They're like, why would you go back to vinyl? Kids come in asking for cassettes, and in my head I'm like, why would you go back to cassettes?
They sell like little Walkmans at Urban Outfitters.
What?
They're probably like more durable.
Cassettes are making a comeback. Kids are going to learn how to use a pencil.
The pencil, I know.
And if you need gifts for the holidays, Rachel's got some amazing fun gifts and ornaments and things. Oh, we should mention the holiday.
Now that everybody knows at Edmonds that there's a holiday tree lighting
on the 30th. Go to the Edmonds Christmas tree lighting. Our friend Richard Taylor does an amazing job emceeing, and he's got some Christmas music that if you haven't heard yet, check that out. Oh my gosh.
We got
so
a sneak peek last night.
Oh, we got to hear the second single last night.
It's not released yet. Highly recommend.
Very
when that
exciting.
Comes out.
But so, you know, like now that our kids are grown, we don't go to the Santa thing anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So like if you don't have, you know, kids to take the Santa thing, you don't know what to do after the tree lighting. We're going to have a little holiday party at Kilnarrow. Oh, no, not Kilnarrow. Vin Barrow. Oh, my gosh. Vin Barrow. What's there? They're in the Milltown. If you haven't been there, you should go. It's one of my favorite places to go.
And one of the things that we've been doing a lot lately is vinyl pop-ups. So we'll bring a whole vinyl DJ setup and do the old school DJing. Yeah.
Fun.
So we'll be doing that.
We'll have some holiday music. Yeah. I know Chris is, I'm sure, working on some fun drinks that night. So anybody that wants a little something to do, a little warm up after the tree lighting, come down to Vin Barrow. It's gonna be a fun night. A little musicology Vin Barrow.
Collaboration.
Well,
awesome. Thank you so much again. And I'm looking forward to exploring the site and checking out new bands and, you know, all things music.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in this town. It's really, really, really special. One of the special things about Edmonds.
Of many.
Just don't be starting a mosh pit in Vin Barrow.
Yeah. Wrong place to start it. There's been a little mini mosh pit at Salish.
Hey, there we go.
It happens.
There's too many bottles in Vin Barrow, though.
No, don't do it by the wine wall. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.